Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Hey, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and as always, joined by Jay Crando. This is episode number 112, and we're talking video tips and tricks. Welcome, Jay. And before we do that, though, let's talk about a previous conversation we did about hashtags. We set that up.
Yeah, we had a great conversation on the last episode about hashtags, but we didn't even talk about, Niels, for some reason, I'm not sure, about what hashtag we want to use for this podcast. So here's some ideas we were like kind of going back and forth on. We can use, and we'll tweet this out on the website and also on Twitter and Facebook, but we want some help in deciding what's the best one. Because as we talked about the last episode, the idea of we want to make sure the hashtag is not being used in other ways. So we kind of want to get a community, and we also want to keep it short and to point. So sometimes it's kind of hard to figure that out, but we want the community to decide because you guys are going to be using it. So a couple ideas, hashtag social media MC. So that would be MC for, you know, media church, or hashtag church SM, which could be dangerous. Hashtag social C podcast, and then, or hashtag SMC podcast, which I honestly like the hashtag SMC podcast. I don't know. Where are you gravitating towards, Niels?
I like the last one as well. I think it's easier to remember. And, you know, I think the key is we want people to continue this conversation online. So we don't want this just to be a conversation between you and I. We want to continue the conversation online. And we just, even since the last podcast, those guys at 12 Stone have really seen the conversation online, and that's fun. That's what we want. And I wish we had a hashtag to really connect that conversation and bring others into it as well.
Yeah. So what we'll do is that we'll get that out on the channels. And so between now and the next couple episodes, we'll land on something and then we'll just kind of start using it. So my suspicion is something will just start getting used and then we'll just start promoting that. So stay tuned to the accounts and future episodes to figure out whatever we decide.
Absolutely. And let us know if you've got a better idea, please send it our way. And we want to know. Well, let's shift the conversation to our topic focus today, video tips and tricks. And joining us today is my social media manager at Community Bible Church, Nick Ovalle. Nick is a stud when it comes to video. And I think we all see the trend of video developing in the church, how big of a deal it is with Instagram adding video, Vine, YouTube's obviously huge. Facebook has maximized it as, you know, just a huge part of their social network. So video is taking over. Nick, welcome to the show. If you would, before we jump into video tips and tricks, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of what you do.
Sure. So my background is actually in graphic design, but what I went out to Los Angeles with a friend, and I got introduced into the whole scene of social media video. There was a company out there doing Taco Cabana commercials, and they asked me to submit a commercial for them, like for web and social media, and I did. And the guy who ran the whole campaign called me and said, "Hey, we love your stuff. Could you possibly do more for us in the future?" So it was just kind of a way to get started. I work with some nonprofits and a lot of fast food, and just, you know, try to create content. I had no background in it before, just thought it was fun and it was really interesting.
Very cool. Well, let's talk video tips and tricks. Jay, do you have any maybe initial thoughts and where you see video being a priority when it comes to social media?
Well, obviously, I think, and there's a lot of people that talk about this, but you need to have some kind of, you need to have a presence, because ultimately social media is most likely connected to some home base. I think, Michael Hyatt talks about that in his platform book, the idea of being connected. And so obviously we're going to have conversations. The problem with social media is, the barrier is that they're not necessarily organized in a systematic way. So stuff can be taken out of context. So that's why the beauty of a hashtag can be linked to something. You can try to drive them to a link. And with video, the best part about video, it can be done poorly, and I bet Nick can share on this, poorly and excellent, that it could represent who you are to like really the maximum ability, you know, your professional product. So everything from quality speaks to the quality of your business or your church or your nonprofit. Low quality can speak to the low quality of your church, your nonprofit, your business, whatever. And so I think video is so important. You got to know how to tell stories well. And that's something at Saddleback I see that you know, we've had some changes internally, and I see some really good movement. And then I see it with other organizations I work with, you know, a video on top of that can lead to a social story as well, and can be viral and can just really build the brand. So you need to be thinking about it. But that's why I'm excited to have Nick on and hear some tips and tricks, especially with not just, you know, churches, but also with some of his connections and conversations he had with business leaders and nonprofits to be able to see, you know, how could somebody do this affordably, and what are some first steps into doing it right. And I know Nils and I, we've had some conversations about that. Even doing this podcast, you know, we got a video element to it and we want to make sure lighting's right. So I'm going to be listening to Nick and taking some notes.
Yeah. So let's, Nick, if you could share where you think a church should start, because what I always hear is when it comes to video and they want to be like a church like Saddleback, and they're like, well, we can't afford expensive cameras and we don't, you know, it's so complicated. Where does a church even begin? And how do you overcome the expense and just the complexity of video?
Sure. Well, first off, I want to say I really like what Jay had to say about the storytelling aspect. I think that's so huge. When it comes to video, you really want to be able to tell a complete story. That's something that has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And to overcome that, I think, you know, we all carry a device in our pocket, the smartphone. And that's the place to start for me. That's where I started, is with a smartphone, because you do have high definition quality. There's a lot of apps for phones that you can get really, really good looking video, and, you know, make it really, you know, good. The second thing I would tell churches is, you know, audio is half of video, and that's something that they need to invest in. You know, I really like Rode products, like the Rode Video Mic. They have something called Smart Labs. You can do interviews with those, and the audio is just really great. So those are two things that I would say that you, those are really the only barriers that you need to get started with video.
Well, that's good. Well, so you use your iPhone and then use like a Rode microphone that hooks into your iPhone. Is that what you're saying?
Sure. Yeah. You can just plug it straight in with some adapters and your audio is ready to go. They make some nice cages if, you know, cause holding a cell phone, it's going to kind of look shaky, but they do make adapters for tripods, and they have desk tripods. And, you know, even if you have just a flip phone, you can use the camera on your computer. Almost every computer nowadays has a built-in camera. And so even if it's just you talking to the camera, you can create, you know, fairly good content just with the laptop.
Nice. You know, I remember Peter McGowan, and he taught me this maybe 5 years ago, but he tells it to me regularly when I get caught up in gear, is he says, it's not what you've got, it's what you can do with it. Mm-hmm. And so often it's not, you know, I mean, you'll see something made with an iPhone, you'll see something made with a DSLR, and you'll be blown away by the iPhone because of how they edited it or how they maybe utilized it. You can capture some great video footage. And I think what you say is key when it comes to the audio. I think that's the downfall to the smartphone videos, is the audio quality is pretty low and challenging. I want to do a little show and tell just because I am not a video guy, but kind of here's my tools. I'd love, Jay, for you to kind of do the same thing. But I had to do some personal videos by myself the other day. So the first embarrassing thing that I bought is this little device right here. Jay, you probably know what this is. It's my selfie stick. Literally, I can open it up, you know, I can do it long, and I push a button that connects to Bluetooth and I can start videoing. And so I think about a pastor, you know, they could easily shoot videos, and this was $10 on Amazon.
Yeah.
Using a selfie stick. And then the other technology that I bought, so that was $10, is this, you know, massive 200-foot cable. But it's actually a lavalier mic. Mm. With a jack that plugs right into the headphone jack of the phone. And so it doesn't even have to be powered because the iPhone powers it. So I plug it right in, it picks up the audio and the video. And this was $20. Let me see what the brand is on it. MOVO on Amazon. And it really captures high quality video. And Nick, you've got a visitor there. I see.
My mom.
Very good. We'll say hi, Nick's mom.
Hello.
Hi, Nick's mom. Yeah.
So anyways, with the lavalier mic, you can really capture some good audio when it's just you. And so I think, Nick, as you shared about, you know, there's other mics you can connect to the device when you have multiple people. And then the other show and tell that I have, and this is where I've spent a little more than $20, is with this podcast. I'm using hear the Blue Yeti microphone that plugs in to the USB on the computer. So this was like maybe $100. So it was a big investment. But if I use my webcam and this microphone, I can get pretty good, you know, and primarily audio quality. And then the video is decent. And so anyways, those are kind of my toys that I've been playing with. I'm curious, Jay, I know you're not a video guy either. What you use?
Yeah. And I think, and I'm actually, after I show my stuff, I was going to, I'm curious with Nick on this, because sometimes when I look into audio, I never know the specs I'm looking at. Like I don't even know like what's good and bad, but for me, I have a couple things. I have this Samsung, well, it's not Samsung, it's SAMSON, podcast, mic. I literally bought it. It was like $75 on Amazon. It tends to really work good. I like it. You know, when I was talking to you, Niels, I wanted something that I could mute. So in between, if I'm coughing or, you know, whatever, you know, if my kids run in, not my mom, but my kids, run in, I can, you know, mute it real quickly. And then I have a, Logitech, HD camera that does 1080p kind of thing. And then I like it 'cause I can kind of move it around if I want. And then what's good about that is sometimes, and I know this is, I've learned this, is that different angles definitely, you know, can be unflattering to somebody. So the more like you're looking up can be unflattering, or looking way too down. And so I wanted this because it actually comes with the newer version, and I can share more about this on the site, but the newer version can actually attach as a tripod attachment. So I can kind of attach it to a tripod and move it around. And then the only other thing I got is I watched this like YouTube video about doing lights. And so I have these like light setup that is actually pretty funny, because all the YouTube video said buy canisters from Home Depot and like spray the inside white and then put like 1,000 or 100 watt bulbs in there. And then I just have them attached. They just clamp. And I had 2-point light system that cost me like maybe $25. That's pretty cheap. Now there's a better way of doing it, but it was a way for me to just have 2 points. And then the hard part is in my condo where I live, I have to shoot anything in our back room, and it's so dark. And so this was an easy way to provide some simple lighting. I'm still learning the tricks of like, I got a little bit of glare in one, you know, eye, and I'm like watching, but that was a YouTube video that these guys, literally like 3 guys, just showed me how to easily set up some, you know, a 2-point lighting system. And I couldn't believe how much it helped, you know, the difference. That it helps in just a simple setup, because lighting is so important with that. So Nick, I was curious with you, that's how we're set up, but what are some specs that we should be looking at for audio? Because you say it's half, you know, half of it is audio. What are some things we should look at for details on Amazon and different things like that? And the other thing, you know, how important are lights? Am I overplaying my hand there on that lights are really important, or shouldn't think about that?
Sure. Yeah. One thing that I would say, if you're doing podcasting, looking for a podcast specific mic, those are going to be great. You know, I know Blue has some plug-in mics. There's one called the Snowball that's fairly affordable. Rode has one. You know, the one that you have is great quality. What I tend to do is I multi-purpose. Like I use like the Rode video mic. I use that, and I have an adapter to plug into my computer. So even though it sits on my DSLR or it can sit on my iPhone, it can also plug into my computer, which makes it, you know, a little, I'm not spending more money on, you know, specific things. I have one general purpose thing for audio. And then lighting, lighting is really huge. One thing that I like, I would suggest is if you go on Amazon, they have something called the Newer 160. It's $30 for LED panel lighting. And the reason I like that is because they're battery powered and you can take them anywhere. And so you can have great, you know, fantastic lighting for $30. And, you know, it has temperature shades, you know, so you can have the white, the blue, the red, orange, just to make it fit your environment. So I think, yeah, what you're doing is great. Your lighting system looks great.
What are like, and I was reading that when I was watching the YouTube video, they were saying like put diffusers on there and the temperature. What does that do exactly to the light?
Sure. So what temperature does to the light is it makes it, it's the color spectrum. So if you have like either blues, and blues are going to be in your like 55 or you know, 4,000 Kelvin range. And then the higher you go on your Kelvin range, like to the 6,000, it's going to get more orange. And so it's the way that you fit. Daylight is kind of that bluish color. Indoor lighting is more that orangish color. So that's
so let's make this pretty practical right now. So for people who are listening on the podcast, you can't understand this, but Nils is a good solid red right now. So what would you recommend as a consultant to Nils to help get him a more normal pale for him? So
there's two things that you could do. One is you could get like blue gel, and they actually sell them. It's called like CPT, I believe. And you just put the blue gel on top of around the light, and it'll make it blue. Or the second thing you can do is when you go to Home Depot, they actually have like the Kelvin lighting. They'll have a display that tells you the Kelvin scale. And so if you're going to be near an open window, I would suggest something that's closer to the 3300 to the 4500 Kelvin range, because it's going to blend. So you'll have, you know, both sides of you will look blue instead of having one side look red and one side look blue.
I appreciate that advice, Nick. I wrote that down, and not, you know, I know it's snowing here in New York, but I get a lot of sun, Jay. I get a lot of sun. And I know you're in LA and have a nice, you know, pale complexion that you keep, 364 days a year. So anyways, I do though, Nick, want to let you speak a little bit, and you are a pro. So you know the pro equipment as well. If a church is looking to go pro, you know, go beyond the iPhone, what is that next step? Where do you recommend them there go? What are those specs you should look for?
Sure. One thing that I really like is I like to shoot with DSLRs because they're really inexpensive. You can find like a T3i, you know, with a kit lens for about $400. And that's going to give you like cinema quality 1080, like something that can look like a movie. You know, it's interchangeable lenses. You can get really close, really far. It's an investment, you know, $400 is an investment, but the stories that you'll be able to tell with that are just going to look a lot better than the iPhone. And then if you really want to go into some huge production, you know, Canon makes some great things. Like they have something called the Cinema Series, the C100, 300 and 500 are great. Sony also makes something called an A7S. And these are just like powerhouses when it comes to video. They, you know, when you look at like the Marvel movies like Captain America or Avengers, you can get a close cinematic look with these kind of cameras.
And I hear red is like the term, like the geeky term. I don't know, you know, I mean, I've seen one time. What's the big hype around the red cameras?
They're really expensive. Just the brain itself, no lenses, no other attachments, is close to $20,000, you know, for a medium range red camera. But they shoot in something called RAW. And just like you can take a picture and you can adjust, you know, the color, the light, all that stuff, the camera actually shoots RAW video. So they're these huge file sizes, but you can go back, and if you have a bad shot, you can make it look amazing in post-production. So that's why a lot of people tend to lean towards the red. It's just way too expensive. I don't know any churches that are shooting on red.
Very good. Well, let's, you know, and Nick, I appreciate your expertise in the video area, and we'll follow up in the show notes with places that people can contact you online. But let's shift the conversation a little bit to our trending topic of the day. And we're talking about Scrum, and Scrum is a book, and Jay, you just posted a blog about it. If you could maybe set that up and what your blog post was about. We've been, and around CBC about it all week.
Yeah. So, you know, Scrum, to my knowledge, I'm aware of it because we use a form of Scrum at Saddleback in our development department. I'm more familiar because I have to be introduced, and I know there's varieties of it, but one of our leads is actually Scrum certified. And so we do sprints and different things, and there's a variety of things, but essentially I'm just aware of it as a process for workflow, specifically within tech companies. And I started hearing news about this book. Actually, Nick and I started talking about it on Instagram about it, and I was going to pick it up, heard about it. And then a friend of mine, who's actually another guy on our team, is actually becoming Scrum certified. He's almost Scrum certified. And he sent me randomly these videos from Spotify. So I'm a Spotify user, love it. You know, I no longer use iTunes. I don't really like buying music. That was never a thing to me, but I'm not a big music guy, but I love to listen. And so Spotify was a good in between for me that I can kind of rent it and use, and I can move on. And I got these videos describe kind of a word picture of their culture internally at Spotify. So obviously a thriving company, you know, 50 million, you know, paying customers or something like that. And to see that they're using a form of Scrum, now they've had it evolved and they're just honest about their culture. It was just these two part videos, and I'll post them in the show notes as well, but you can find them on my website. But they're just two videos describing the culture. And so it's a popular book. I think it's Jeff Sutherland, right, Nick? Is that his name? Yeah. And so, so it's just an interesting idea of how they do workflow and how they prioritize stuff. So what would you like to add to that, Nick, on that topic? Cause I know you're familiar with it.
Sure. Scrum, it's the almost opposite workflow of what has been happening since, you know, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. They used to have something called a waterfall method. And the waterfall method is you try and pack everything into, you know, your software or whatever process that you're doing. And the problem with that is things change in real time. And sometimes these softwares, they have 3-year ship dates, meaning that whatever date that it started 3 years later, it's going to ship. And, you know, the market changes very, very fast in technology. So what Scrum decided to do is say, hey, what can we do in sprints? Like, what can we get done in a week? That's something that we can test. Mm-hmm. And if you think about it in those kind of terms, you know, what is something that we can actually tangibly do as a team within 1 to 2 weeks? That makes a lot more sense. We can build on that rather than let's, you know, have a document that's going to live for 3 years. And, you know, by the time we release it, the market doesn't want it anymore.
Yeah, I love that idea of releasing, you know, tangible results, you know, often as soon as possible, kind of to show that things are happening and almost like having showed they were working on something. And so it was interesting, you know, check out the videos on my site to see how Spotify does it, and check out the Jeff Sutherland book, co-creator of Scrum. It's a really great book. I think it's good for anything, not just for developers, just to see their workflow, because you can transfer that to if you're a social media, you know, manager, if you're a church leader, a business, you can introduce that as well. Is there any closing thoughts on that, Nick and Nils, you want before we end?
None for me. I just watched saw the blog post and watched the videos 2 or 3 times already, and really fascinating the concept. And so I'm eager to read the book and learn more.
Okay. I would just encourage leaders, if they're a thought leader, if they're working in a church, to really think differently, just because we live in such an interconnected era right now that they can, you know, they can make amazing things. They can do amazing things with such a short time and a small budget. So pick up that book and really, you know, challenge yourself with it.
Cool. I want to thank you, Nick, for being on the show this week and sharing your insights on video and tips. And we're going to put links in the show notes, everything, so they can get connected with you and ask you any follow-up questions. Thanks, Nils, again. And come on, we're a couple episodes into this and we're still liking each other. So that's a good thing. So thank you again. And for more information about our show and anything we reference, go to socialmedia.church, subscribe to us on iTunes, and follow us. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.